The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Monday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and I'm happy you're here. Hour one, we talked college football. I think we'll do some of the more. Hour two. Andrew Spivey, Gator Country, he came on. Ryan McGee from ESPN, he came on. Brad Senkiff from 105.5 The Roar, he is on the morning show there, nationally 9 a.m. to noon. And every day, Monday through Friday, 105.5 The Roar there in Clemson. So we will talk spring progress as the Tigers work their way through. And they got a lot of getting better to do. Sonny Shipp, bottom of the hour, we will talk a little 247 with them. And both of these teams, LSU and Clemson, figure into one observation, I guess, kind of jumped into my brain this weekend. Because I'm making all my preseason win the conference early declarations to myself. This is not, you know, for on air. Actually, I mean, it's not. I'm making this from a wagering standpoint. Hey, it's the end of March. What are my initial thoughts? What is the gambling term, the early lean? What's my early lean? And so I'm just making some of those. And so this weekend, I was going through something that both LSU and obviously Clemson figure into. Started with Florida State. And I was looking at FSU's schedule. And I realized that I was spending far more time. And I'm thinking, like, what is the goal, the ultimate possible? What's the real possible goal? Dabo would say, we want to be national champions. I don't think that's your goal this year. If Mike Norvell said, our goal is national champions, I would say, all right, tell me more. Let's talk. And so whenever I'm looking at it, everybody has their different blue sky. What is really possible for you this season? Well, Florida State, I'm thinking everything's possible. So I'm looking at their schedule, and I'm trying to think, all right, how, as we go through this season, does Florida State's ultimate blue sky look? Like, how is it impacted week by week? If I was talking about Syracuse, I think the blue sky is probably like 8 wins or 7, and Dino Babers continuing to coach, and you get, you know, a December 28th bowl instead of a December 23rd bowl. Okay, let's go through the Syracuse schedule. At the end of March, as a very early lean, what do I think about the orange? And so I did all that. I did that. Well, I was doing it for Florida State. I was like, all right, well, what's their blue sky? National title? Ugh, wow. Now that's blue. That's wide open. But I started looking at their schedule from the standpoint of, all right, how will each of these games impact that potential blue sky? And I realized I spent a lot more time thinking of the impact beating LSU would make on legitimizing the Noles this season on a national level than beating Clemson. That's the other shoe here, is I realized I'm looking at Florida State schedule, and I was like, all right, now that I'm to the going in order, alphabetical. All right, now Florida State schedule. Let's look at that. Chuck, what did you decide the early lean could happen for Florida State? They could win a national title. All right, well, how would these games impact that? And I didn't make it through all of them. But I kept going back to LSU. I was like, that's it. You can't have off-season, preseason, we're making that final step up. You can't have that hype and start 0-1. You just can't. It is so hard to come because you've got money out in the middle of the table already. Because you're not, like, you're not even Bama right now. Say even Bama. There's like eight teams or nine maybe that I'll, like, widen my discussion of national championship, like playoff possibilities. Like, I'll talk like nine teams this year for four spots. And so Florida State's one of them. And so if you're one of those teams that, like, we're all of us, it's not Mike Norvell going, vote for us, we should be number one, box to wire. He's confident. He likes his team. I like him better, maybe. So if they can be a playoff team, all right, how do they get there? You go through 8 months of hype, whether it was me, you, somebody living under a bridge. Doesn't matter. You go through 8 months of hype of Florida State. They're back. They're making that final step up. And then, boom, egg, 0-1 on a Sunday night. Hey, Dan, that's Sunday night, right? Yes. Dan says, yes, Sunday night. You can't do that. That was Miami. Wasn't that Miami and LSU like 3, 4, 5 years ago in Dallas on that Sunday night? And I was like, dude, you can't be Miami and be chest out and everybody beating your drum all week, all offseason. And then you can't do that. Was it LSU at Wisconsin? Same thing. I bet that game when I laid points. I bet I laid like 6.5 points on the road. I was dumb, Dan. I was dumb that day. Wasn't that at Lambeau too?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, Dan, that was dumb.
It was not a good day. Probably when Les got fired, if you will.
If I'm recalling, and I didn't look this up, and I could have. Didn't he play Leonard Fournette with like a broken foot?
Yeah, he like twisted his ankle or something, yeah.
He's like, no, he's, and I bet you, here's the tough part. I saw Jimbo do this with EJ Manuel one time. I think it was EJ. You took the opponent lightly. Nah, we don't need, when you have a star, and all folks, the players know, and you've got somebody on ice and kid gloves, and you're not going to play him, and then the game starts, and like, nah, we ain't playing him, and then all of a sudden it's the middle of second quarter, middle of third quarter, and you're like, hey, you need to get in there. No, Leonard Fournette, as I remember, Les was like, all right, get in there now. And like he was going to play some, but then it's like, all right, he ain't playing some. He's playing a lot now. So you can't be Florida State. Now, when I say you can't be, I don't care, all right? I'm not a Florida State grad, fan, anything else. I just enjoy when the program's good because, you know, they're one of those programs I've talked about, you know, more often. It's more of a real season. So Florida State, all this offseason hype, and then you don't have enough cred with the committee, with Gen Pop, with media, with voters, with whomever. In fact, it'll go the other way. People who have beat your drum all offseason, they'll abandon. They'll turn on you. You made me look bad. This was a failing by you. I drop you from third in my preseason poll to you're 19 after 1 week. What? 19 to 20. So that's, you can't do that. So I realized that I am looking at FSU schedule, and I just kept going back to that LSU game. I was like, because it's week one and because it's the SEC and because it's LSU, and LSU is, they're not exactly the Florida State of the SEC. They're next, but like they're kind of next. They could be. Not this soon, probably. I don't know. But like Florida State, in part because of, hey, look at the waters we swim in. It's easier over here. They, 2023, all right, for them, maybe. But it is an achievement game, a plant your flag game, look what we did. We beat them. This is not opening against like the Alabama-Louisville thing a few years ago. Maybe that was Jacksonville. They played in Orlando somewhere where Nick Saban yelled at Maria Taylor afterwards. I think her quote question was, hey, both quarterbacks played great, didn't they? Why do you want to start a controversy? It's like, Sanka, man, come on. So they played him down there, whatever. I couldn't get past the LSU. I was like, that's it. Now, again, the other shoe here is No, don't lose to Clemson. Do not lose to Clemson. But, and this crystallizes it right here, beating Clemson won't make nearly as much impact as beating LSU will on Florida State's ability to make the playoffs with an imperfect resume. I do not believe Florida State is good enough to go 13-0. I believe they're good enough to win the ACC with only one loss. And at that point, you know what they are? They're a playoff team. They would get the nod, I believe, over a 13-0 G5 group, whoever. I think. So with an imperfect resume, with a perfect resume, there's no question. With an imperfect resume, okay, what's the landscape for FSU? For FSU, beating Clemson doesn't do nearly as much for you in that room as beating LSU will. More credit in a room for beating LSU. Season-crushing debit for losing to Clemson. I took an accounting class. All I remember is credits and debits. It was required. I had to take it. I don't know why. Debits and credits is all I recall. There's your today's reality in the ACC. Not your conference anymore, Clemson. All right, we break. We continue on Chuck Oliver Show next.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. Updated math. I hadn't been paying attention. They tapped me on the shoulder last week, said you're giving bad infos. 9 states, 60 sticks. So thank y'all for that blessing. Again, I make a living talking college football. It's kind of groovy. I don't think this is a provocative statement. And now, it's not a statement I ever really imagined saying a year ago, but I don't think this is provocative. Clemson losing to South Carolina, that cost them the playoff spots, I believe. I think with how the season unfolded and then who was suddenly not really available anymore, that cost them the playoffs. Now, the reason I said I didn't expect to say this because there was no sentence that included Clemson losing to South Carolina. You didn't say it, like, for a long time. So they got more than enough to handle within the ACC, and suddenly, like, South Carolina's over there going, hey, sup, we play football too. It tax on all sides, man. It is not easy to be at the top of the heap. Want to welcome on now, guy we always love talking to, 105.5 The Roars, where he makes his living Monday through Friday. You can hear him 9 to noon. It is Brad Senkiff. Brother, how are you on this Monday?
Chuck, I'm doing well. Glad to be talking some college football. Spring practice and started back at Clemson after a week off. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, let's drill down just to local conversation at the Biscuit Barn or, you know, Catherine's Kitchen or wherever. They lost to South Carolina. Now, beyond the ramifications, do you agree with me? Losing to South Carolina, we realize that cost them the playoffs. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. Based on how you said everything else, the way it played out and the way that everything else went, I think you can trace it back to, you know, South Carolina really ended Tennessee and Clemson's runs there in the final few weeks of the season.
And so that's bitter enough that, hey, these are the play. You know, we're a playoff program, and they are. But let's talk in-state now. Dabo has always been able to get recruits nationally, and that includes South Carolina. They're part of the nation. Where is the in-state, I don't know, the vibe, the feel, the energy, for whatever that matters to in-state 16, 17, and 18-year-olds? Just where's the general feel of that right now?
It's a really good question. I think you may or may not be surprised by the answer, but there's a lot of momentum in South Carolina right now. I mean, I think, honestly, that win probably resonates with some in-state guys, and I think South Carolina's probably doing a better job with in-state recruiting. Clemson, you know, Clemson went more national, if you will, after the playoff runs and the two national championships under Dabo Swinney. They sort of took more of a national approach and opened things up, and that kind of opened the door for South Carolina to get a little more inroads with some of the in-state coaches and some of the more embedded in-state programs that produce talent every year. I think South Carolina's taking advantage of that and use that in a lot of ways, kind of against Clemson. Not that those guys Clemson had, I don't know that Clemson's lost anybody that actually had to have from in-state, but as you know in college football, especially in this region, you get some guys going their in-state to one school, they take it personal. They understand the rivalry better, and it means more to them. Maybe they play a little harder or whatever. So it can affect the rivalry, but I would say South Carolina's used Clemson's more internet or more national approach in their favor over the last couple of years, and I think that's continued. And I think there's a lot of buzz and momentum in that South Carolina program. Clemson's trying to fight to get some of that back away from the Gamecocks, and didn't help losing on the field this past year.
Is there any reasonable scenario where Klubnik is not the quarterback? I'm trying, like, is anybody good enough to swipe the job? Is this like, no, we can move on and talk about something else because we're going to either win or fail with him.
Yeah, there's no chance.
Okay.
In my opinion, this is my club.
Then we move on.
Well, I'll say this. Chris Mazzina, the freshman who's coming in, he's just not ready. He's not physically ready. You see the tools. You see what he can do, but he's got to go through a year in the weight room, a year of understanding college offenses. He's just not going to push Klubnik to the degree there's going to be any sort of open competition. And then Paul Tyson, they brought in from Arizona State, formerly of Alabama as well, he's got a thumb thing that slowed him down in the spring. So, yeah, this is Klubnik's job. This is one of the reasons they even brought Garrett Riley in, was to coach up Cade Klubnik.
So, absolutely. And so he'll have to, you know, he'll be good, bad, dead, or buried, but that he's going to be the QB. That means, well, let's talk about something where there is question. And this is the funny thing. I say, all right, so after Antonio Williams, let's fill out, like, the next three spots for the receivers. Big old Bo Collins, big old Adam Randall. They're big. Are they healthy and going to be consistent?
Well, they're not on the field. That's kind of a big strike against them right now. Collins is not doing any contact work as he comes back from a shoulder injury that he had last season. Then we find out Adam Randall is not going to be practicing at all this spring. He's working his way back from a knee issue. He's had multiple knee issues now over the course of the last year. So, I think there's some real issue and trepidation trying to figure out what this group looks like, what they're going to be. Cole Turner is a guy who's trying to come on strong this spring. Probably the beneficiary, those other guys not getting as many reps, means Cole Turner, who had a couple big plays against North Carolina in the ACC title game and had a big catch against Tennessee early on in that game. He's a guy they really like, but boy, does he, you know, he's got to learn a lot. He's trying to grow up. They redshirted him last year. So after that, man, it's a lot of who knows what. I mean, there's like six guys that are going to be in that receiver room that are not participating really in doing anything for the Tigers this fall. So you've got three freshmen coming in. You got one on campus right now. There's just a lot of issues with that receiver group that none of them are going to get solved, Chuck, in my opinion, in spring ball. It's going to take summer. It's going to take into the fall. It's going to take into the season, like deep into the season, I think, before you really get a handle on some real improvements coming in this receiving core.
All right, Dabo, I take him as a generally positive person, but this goes beyond this. There have been comparisons. He's talked about Peter Woods, who is a high school senior right now. He says that there are comparables to Christian Wilkins and Brian Brzee. Tell me about Peter Woods, because that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't blame you for saying it. I've said for the longest time, Woods is a prize recruit in this class and a guy that should be on the field immediately. He's kind of in between body frames. He's bigger than – he's taller than a Tyler Davis. He's not as tall as a Brian Brzee. He does look more Christian Wilkins-like to me with his versatility. Really good, quick first step off the ball. He's going to probably play inside, but he's a guy that if they need an outside pass rusher, which – they may need based on the depth of the defensive end of the guys they lost. And, you know, XT's not playing. Thomas, he's out for the spring. Justin Maskell has been banged up a little bit. Those are the two starters. Not going to be surprised to see Woods, you know, kind of cross-train a couple positions. But he just has the body type and the frame to play right away. There's not a lot of work to do there. And he's got a little bulldog mentality in him. So I understand why Dabo's saying that. And I'm not one to, when it comes to defensive line, to go overboard with freshman comparisons and try to put too much on them early. But, man, offense has been completely 100% positive.
All right, last thing, and this is just anecdotal. I cannot be the only person who was ever like Carlos Watkins and Christian Wilkins. I would always confuse. Who caught the pass against Oklahoma?
Wilkins.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So this is the athletic comparison you want then, right?
Yeah, but I mean, Wilkins was a class of his own. This is the guy who led the NFL in tackles by a defensive tackle this year. Like, this is a guy
stupid.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to compare him to anybody. It's not fair. But he was athletically one of the most gifted individuals I've ever seen in college sports that I've been around.
All right, and last thing, and I'm letting you out the door, I know, with this, but just Brzee right now, do you think NFL teams that are poking and prodding him and talking to him, are they getting the 100% Brian Brzee, or is that still down the road a little bit?
I think they're getting close to that. There's like a renewed mentality with him, a renewed sense. I think he's got his body in a great place, but his mind, he really seemed – focused during the combine,
okay,
during the pro day.
Right.
I really like what I'm hearing and seeing out of Brian Brzee. I think it's all positive right now.
All right, fingers and toes crossed for the young man. Appreciate you coming on,
absolutely,
Brad.
Yep, thank you, Chuck. Take care, my man.
All right, that's our man, Brad Sendkiff, 105.5 The Roar, 9 to noon yonder, exit 19 in Clemson. And I want him to have a break. I mean, when you look at somebody like RoboCop, Dan, do I need to have a newer reference?
No, RoboCop's
is he coming
awesome.
Back? Is he coming back?
I think Murphy is coming back.
I think RoboCop. All right, so it's back now. So if you wait long enough, okay. You don't look like RoboCop and say, I think the guy gets a break sometimes. He needs a break. Brian Brzee needs a break. Body, mind, heart, all of that stuff. All right, well, so go play in the NFL as a 21-year-old. That'll be the break you need. Possibly there will be a little less maybe asked of him, at least for a minute. When was the last time? Think about this. When was the last time less was asked about from Brian Brzee? Do you know who everybody had this? I had it. Dan had it. David. Everybody went to school with that guy who was your age. And then as a freshman, he's on the varsity team. You're like, oh. So that was been Brzee since he was a freshman in high school. It's never been asked. It's about to be. He's going to have some less asked of him. So good for him for being able to exhale.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I swear we're going to talk college football with this next individual because he does a great job covering that. Covering the team and Cruden, both of them. But in Baton Rouge right now, all right, let me give you the headlines for football. Like the thing on my mind for football, here's the one thing. They got like two running backs and maybe six offensive linemen right now. Like that's it. So I don't know what they're doing with... I don't know what you're doing, but so we'll cover that. Everything else, though, athletically, Baton Rouge, thumbs up. Like, sky's the limit, man. Told you Saturday they had the pitcher who was undefeated with like a zero ERA, and then they lost. And then Saturday to a really good team. And Saturday, I was like, all right, enough of that. And they hit Arkansas with a pipe. And then they beat them again yesterday. So, and then the women's team is going to the Final Four. So I don't know if he covers other sports than football, because I don't know that I have ever talked other sports. We're going to find out and talk college football with Sonny Shipp, 24/7 Sports. Sonny, welcome. Do you talk sports other than football?
Oh, yes, we can, my brother. How you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing good. The Final Four for the women, that's not nothing. When you bring in somebody like Kim Mulkey, I mean, there's a reason, right?
Hey, when you bring in Kim Mulkey and you pay her the kind of money that you're going to pay her for women's basketball, you expect some immediate gratification from that. And to lose, you know, I think it was like 70% of their scoring output that they lost from her first season in Baton Rouge to everyone that she went out and got, just bringing in, you know, Alexis Morris, Angel Reese, and all of those girls. I mean, they just, you know, they really, people have kind of doubted them all year. They've been number two. You know, once they got up to number two, they stayed there until they lost to South Carolina. But people always kind of question, are they really that good? Are they good enough to make it to a Final Four? Because the non-conference schedule was a lot of patsies to start the season, and so that had to strength the schedule, you know, facing an uphill battle. But, you know, they just quietly kind of just gone through and picked up the pieces and bounced back from losing that game to South Carolina and then to Tennessee. And, you know, Final Four, wow, you know, that's all you can say. You thought you were going to get that out of Kim Mulkey. I don't think you thought you was going to get it nearly as quickly as you did, though.
All right, give me 30 seconds on baseball because it's still so dang early in that season. But this is baseball in the spring there. We had somebody on it was a couple of years ago for spring game, and he's like, I'm going to be across the street. I was like, we got a baseball series going on. And they're really good this year, and they took the weekend. So, like, things are really good around Baton Rouge sports-wise, right?
Yeah, one word, I guess it would be damn, and I don't know if I can say that on air.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, man, they got some horses on that team. You know, you look at Paul Skeens, and he didn't pitch horrible in the opener of the series, but you could tell that he didn't have his stuff. You know, he didn't have nearly the stuff that he had been throwing earlier in the season. But then you look up and he still allowed one run. And so, you know, obviously the bullpen fell apart there, but they really bounced back. And, you know, when Arkansas goes on the road and loses a series and they kind of get thumped the way that they did in that second game, lose the last two games of the series, you would think that they would take a little bit of a tumble in the polls, a little more than they did, but they only dropped like about a couple of spots. Nope. When you looked at all the polls this week. And so, I think that tells you how much the voters really, you know, really feel about LSU right now.
All right. There was news while all of this was going on. And like I said, this is all big stuff, and so I wanted to bring that up. But we talk college football here. They lose a coach over the weekend?
Yeah, Jamar Cain, the defensive line coach and the run game coordinator, he's headed to Denver for under Sean Payton's staff.
All right. Well, that's not nothing. Now there's the ability.
It's not often, right? Am I wrong in that? This is very, very rare, huh? To lose a coach a third of the way through spring practice.
It is, but we're not going to say that next spring. Do you know why? Like, look at Florida. Yeah. What's happened? There are so many coaches when they get that call from the NFL now, they're like telling their agent, "Oh, take the call." They don't care when. So, yeah, I'm telling you, this is about to get normal. But your LSU. I mean, no disrespect. And by the way, love me some Pete Jenkins. You're not in a spot where you have to go, like, knock on Pete Jenkins' door again. It's LSU, for gosh sakes. Any idea, just a whisper of a name?
Well, you know, there's a guy in-house right now who's the senior defensive line analyst. Gerald Chapman came over from Colorado. He was the DC over there. Defensive line coach, has some experience. He's a guy that Brian Kelly, you know, really thinks highly of. So if they would keep it in-house, and normally I wouldn't think that they would do something like that, but just this timing is just so weird that it's just kind of foreign territory, you know, for us as far as covering goes. You know, I'm sure there's some NFL guys, but if you look at the college game, I mean, there's one name that LSU fans are just going crazy about right now, thinking about those prospects, and it's Bo Davis, the Texas defensive line coach. Obviously, he played at LSU.
known as, you know, known as one of the best defensive line recruiters in America. And look, you know, he's making like $875,000. And somebody asked me, like, could LSU pay that? And I was like, look, LSU, if you're paying your head coach $9 million a year, There is no quota on paying your defensive line.
Oh, it's only
coach.
Money.
If there's a guy that you want, you can get him. Money is not going to be an object.
All right.
So I'm anxious to see. You know, if some other guys kind of creep more into the picture. Because one thing that Brian Kelly did is when he replaced Brian Polian as a special teams coach, and he elevated John Jancic to that position, he also put the outside linebackers, the Jack linebacker, the rush in under Jancic.
That's right.
And so now if you're talking about a situation, you know. In an ideal situation, you wouldn't want a new guy having to come in and coach as many newcomers as LSU has at that position. They've got five newcomers at that position right there. So you're not having to ask someone to come in and to do that. So I think it may give them a little more time to say, you know what, we don't have to hurry. We don't have to do anything. We've got everything in-house right now that's working well for spring practice and stuff. So let's just get through that, and then we'll figure everything else out. And that's assuming, of course, if Brian Kelly wasn't ahead of the curve and doesn't already have something in place.
All right. I want to go back and talk about the thing I let all this off with. LSU for spring. Ain't got no running backs. Ain't got no linemen. And I'm going to tell you my opinion on running backs. You remember Tay Crowder at Georgia? There was a spring where he literally, for the spring game, he was the running back. They were like, we'll just throw a bunch of passes and he'll play running back for both teams. He now plays linebacker for the New York Giants. Like, running back in the spring, I don't even care, especially in the SEC. But tell me about the offensive line, because you can't get anything real done offensively without an offensive line.
No, and it really, you know, it does kind of put you in a bind. But if you look along the offensive line, you know, they started the spring with a healthy five, you know, so they had their five minus Charles Turner, who is out. They had Marlon Martinez at center, so they had their five that they could work with. It's when Miles Frazier went down, then they were kind of put into a little situation to where then they had to start moving some pieces around to get that offensive line going. But there's no question about it that, you know, having that few scholarship players up front can really put you behind the eight ball, and it doesn't allow you, like you said, to be able to get some of the things done. And I think if you look at LSU's run game last year, Jaden Daniels was the run game. Granted, the running backs, I think all of them are averaged over 5 yards a carry, and maybe one of them was just shy of that number. But that's a very respectable number in the SEC. Still, if you looked at LSU's offense last year, minus Jaden Daniels, the run game was not very, was not very effective and was not in a situation where you felt good about them being able to put a game away.
Yeah, Sonny, that's what I tell people all the time. When you just look at stats, it's like you can get an indication, but like, if you're right, you look at LSU's rushing stats from last season, you were like, this per game, this per carry, they were fine. I was like, no, they really weren't. It was, hey, Jaden, go do something. Now, last thing I want to ask you along those lines is, Trey Holly gonna be this year's Josh Williams, who looks around and was like, all right, I'll take the work?
You know, I really think, and it's easy to say when you have as many guys in a crowded backfield as LSU had, and no one's ever really grabbed the torch and ran with it, that it's going to be a running back by committee thing. But I really don't see anything else. You know, they would love for John Emery. They would love for John Emery to be able to hold on to the football and for him to play like the five-star he was coming out of high school. I question whether we'll ever see that. You know, he's missing this spring, right? He's not at practicing right now and stuff because of some academic stuff he's working on. So there's just always something that is prohibiting him from being able to 100%, you know, be 100% fully engaged in an off-season workout, in an off-season program. And so I really think that that's going to, that's going to have a detrimental effect as far as him being able to just be that guy and just grabbing that baton and just running and not giving it up again. And, so then you look at Noah Cain. You know, if Noah Cain is not able to get it done on a consistent level, don't be surprised if Trey Holly does get a chance, because I'll tell you what, watching the running backs one time, you're watching Cain and Holly, and you watch Cain do a little drill, and then he was hopping over bags, and you could just see the quickness of his feet. Man, when Trey Holly did that, it looked like Noah Cain, no disrespect respect to Kane, but it looked like Kane had 50-pound bags of concrete on his feet. That just showed the foot speed that Holly has. Now, granted, you're also comparing a 220-pounder to a 185-pounder, too. So, but just I think that's a testament to what you'll see with Trey Holly. If he's got some of that ability that Clyde Edwards-Helaire with being able to just stop those feet, make people miss and go, you can see a little bit of that in Holly's game.
Could I ask you last one, Aaron Anderson, what is his level of activity? I'd seen earlier he was either limited or maybe he was out all spring.
Yeah, he's out all spring.
Okay.
He's out for the spring. He should be back. He should be back for the summer. And, another situation to where, you know, you wanted to see anybody who has a chance to return punts next year.
Oh, yeah.
You want them getting as many reps as you can right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you sit him in a chair in the middle of the field and still give him jugs, guns, and hope that one of them hits him in the hands to see if he can catch it or what.
Yeah, if you would have given me like a list of 25 LSU players from last season, like this time last year, and said 9 months from now, guy can't hang on to a football, fan base will turn on him, he'll transfer, I would not have picked Jack Besh. I would not have picked that young man, and that's kind of how it turned out. Sonny, appreciate you, brother. Thank you for your time on this Monday.
Absolutely, Chuck. Have a good week, my man.
All right. Yeah, that was the 21 season. Besh was a freshman receiver, and brother, he was the fourth of those four freshmen, and he was the one that got on the field. And I'll say he was not necessarily, he wasn't a revelation and took over the SEC. He was kind of reliable and he was there and he was dependable. He made some plays and he caught the ball and he wasn't a tight end at all. And boy, I was convinced he was going to be a tight end in the SEC. No, he was never ever going to be a tight end in the SEC. And then the season started and it just went left. There were just some weird things last year. That Mason Smith thing and the extra point, and I just, that was weird. It was in your backyard. When? And, like, Tennessee, I'm like, how did you not catch that? Is it sunny? Is that the way? I don't know. How's the field oriented? Is it a north and south field? I was like, I was trying to figure out the sun. I was like, is this an east and west field? You know, you see, like in Athens, Georgia, you know, run north and south. You run out of bounds if you run north and south in Athens. And so it'll affect the sun. You don't want to be a north-south runner in some places. I was trying to fit, like, literally, that's what I was doing. I was going checking Google Maps and long. I was like, what's the orientation of the stadium? Because I was at a loss. Because Jack Besh, do you know what I was saying as recently as, like, kickoff of week one? Well, there's your reliable receiver. Hey, Butte, why don't you be the most reliable receiver? And that's just not how it turns out. All right, we will break, and then, gosh, we'll wrap up on this Monday next.
Attention businesses of all sizes affected by COVID-19. The federal government has introduced the Employee Retention Credit. It's a new relief program that allows you to collect up to $26,000 per employee. If your business was forced to close due to COVID-19 or you lost 20% or more of your sales, you may qualify for free financial relief. There's no limit to the amount you can file for, and you don't have to pay the money back. Call Park Settlement now. They'll explain to you how much you qualify for and how fast the funds can be in your business bank account. To find out if you qualify for the ERC program, call Park Settlement right now for details. There's no upfront cost to you, and you could receive up to $26,000 per employee. Call right now for details. 800-245-1984. 800-245-1984. 800-245-1984. That's 800-245-1984.
If you served in the Marine Corps, by now you know about the contaminated water problem at Camp Lejeune. If you were stationed or worked at Camp Lejeune from 1953 to 1987, you probably have a lot of questions. We have some answers. You could be entitled to compensation. Billions of dollars are being allocated to pay for damages to anyone stationed at Camp Lejeune during that time. Unfortunately, it appears that officials may have known the contaminated water problem existed and did little to protect their men. The Semper Fi Code was not honored. If you or someone in your family has developed a serious illness, including various forms of cancer, call this Camp Lejeune legal support line right now. You can't turn back the clock and change what happened, but you can certainly call right now and learn your rights as a Marine. Here's the number.
800-681-8020. 800-681-8020. That's 800-681-8020.
paid for by Legal Alert Line.
Here's farmer and landowner John Prue.
We purchased the land about 3 years ago, and there was an old farmstead on there with trees. We were going to clear the land so we could farm through it. We thought we knew where the pipe was, so we didn't call to get it located. The work on our property led to the damage of a light crude pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse.
Never assume the location or depth of underground lines. Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our safety. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Meet Ed, movie buff, animal lover, safe driver.
5 years of driving an ambulance teaches you a thing or two. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. When I see a car trying to rush past a turning bus, I get concerned. You see, when big vehicles turn right, they have to swing wide to make the turn. And that's a lesson you don't want to learn the hard way. When trucks and buses turn, let's you and I wait.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
If you suffer from COPD symptoms like shortness of breath and fatigue, where do you turn? There are medications and oxygen, but do you know about pulmonary rehab? 3 out of 5 COPD patients have never heard of it. Pulmonary rehab is an exercise, education, and support program that gives you tools to manage your condition, and Medicare typically pays for it. So whether it's grocery shopping on your own or just walking across the room, pulmonary rehab can help you. Visit livebetter.org to find out about your options for pulmonary rehab today.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It was really good, actually. I think it worked out pretty well, being able to balance the reps out that we needed to and letting everybody kind of get a turn. Look forward to an exciting summer and fall camp to see who gives us the best chance to win football games.
Chuck Oliver Show, continuing on this Monday. Eli Drinkwitz. And there are all manner of schedules that teams can take when it comes to spring, but this was Eli Drinkwitz saying, let's get after it a little bit. Let's put a little bacon grease on it. And he said that some of the injuries actually opened up opportunities. Now, you don't have a choice for any of that, but injuries allowed them to give more quarterbacks reps this spring than maybe they were planning. That is about that glass is a quarter full. I'm telling you, that glass, you know, the injured quarterback. Can I tell you that? You know what no coach has ever said and meant it in history ever? Guys, let me tell you the benefit of having so many injured quarterbacks. We had other guys take snaps. Yes, they did. The idea, though, isn't that Connor Bazelak is the quarterback because he was exited a year ago. I don't know if it's Tyler Macon. I don't know if it's Brady Cook. I think it's Jake Garcia, whatever it may wind up being. It was a tough spring for everybody in Como as Eli is trying to kind of get a foothold and decide what they're going to. Now, they're actually kind of recruiting and whatever players there are in Missouri. And when I say whatever players, here's what matters, a 4-star or a 5-star. Do you know why those are the players that matter? Because you should have – you really should, especially in a case like Missouri, a built-in acknowledgement, like a subconscious connection. If you popped out of the womb and like somebody had the Missouri game on in the background and all like, go Tigers, Mizzou, it's there, man. Now I say there should be, especially with Missouri. if you were birthed down in Clearwater, who knows who you were rooting for or the doctor was talking about, or, you know, you're in the incubator and you hear the other baby whispering about, what do you think the defensive line will be like down in Miami this year? You don't know. It could be anybody. It'd be like 10 teams. You're supposed to have an advantage there. All right, this is why it only matters when it's like Luther Burden or Doyle. They do a pretty good job. I don't know. Maybe it's religion. You know this play where, like, in-state, all they want to talk about is their foot. And I'm like, but your football team's not good. Doesn't matter. In-state, man, that's all they want to talk about. So in Missouri, they must do a good job of getting ingrained, because when there is a blue-chip player, they do the program across multiple coaches, they do a pretty good job of keeping the kid home. Those kids don't matter nearly as much as the three-star and two-stars, because you can get those anywhere. And so if Oklahoma or Florida or Pittsburgh thinks that there'll be a fight for the three-star in Missouri, they'll go somewhere else. All right? So that's recruiting for Eli. Dan, how's your Monday unfolded?
You know, it's been a Monday to the point where, hey, we're into the week and here we go. So got that going for me, which is nice. Lane Kiffin speaking with ESPN about a couple of days ago, and the headline reads, Lane Kiffin struggled with criticism after Auburn overtures. And this is a headline that I think that probably if it is coming out, say, in 2013, people are looking at it and saying, oh, poor Lane, you know, the guy has got everything handed to him. He's about as entitled can be. But then it was the interesting filtration process, if you will. I don't even know if a person can have a personality filtration process, but we'll just go with it, because once he went to Tuscaloosa and once Nick Saban was saying, no, hey, actually a good coach, somebody that you really need to think about, all of a sudden people said, oh, okay. And then Lane proved it with his own merit, where now it's no longer he is Monty's son. He is now Lane Kiffin, offensive guru and a guy that we really trust. Quote, we screw up all the time, but when you think you're doing the right thing and then you really get criticized for it, especially by your own fans, I struggled with that because I felt like I was going through the decision-making process that you're supposed to go through. I mean, you got to decide. It's your life. It's your family's life. And that is pretty interesting there as well, where it was never necessarily anybody else, or it was never coming from Lane himself that he was thinking of going to Auburn. It was a report. And then he quickly responded to said report and said, yeah, I don't really know where you're getting that from. That's news to me if that indeed is the case. And yep. Then, of course, he announced the extension. And I felt like he did everything pretty much the right way that you could. We've seen coaches before who have gone about it the absolute wrong way. I mean, Nick Saban has even talked about, you know, a regret that he had with what happened with the Miami Dolphins and moving on to go be the coach at Alabama.
Yeah, he does, doesn't it? But can I interject real quick?
Sure.
I let him off the hook for that, because there are times you ask a coach, like I was thinking about Billy Napier earlier. If you ask Billy Napier, what's the real goal this season? He knows the real goal. If we can get to 8 wins, I might deserve a statue. You can't say our goal. We're a championship program. Right. Like, sometimes you set a coach up for a real tough spot with a question. You really do.
And that's what I think we had with Lane Kiffin. So I thought he handled everything the absolute right way. And I appreciate the fact that he's willing to be vulnerable enough to say, yeah, hey, fans, that kind of bothered me. I felt like I was doing you right, and this is how you repay me?
Yeah, he stayed, man. You won. It's an example I always use. We're here for your coach. And for reasons 1 through 6, Lane's like, no, I'm good. I'm telling you, the powder blue uniform's got to be one of them. That helmet, that's got to be one of them. That's one of the, 7 reasons he put down 7, the powder blue. Wraps it up on the Monday. David on the 1s and 2s. He's Eminem. Dan, thank you so much. Everybody, thank you all for listening. We'll be back in 22 hours for more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like.
You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.